Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin A.C. Potter's beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Getting ready for the altitude tour. The altitude adjustment. That's what Manny Machado is looking for. He's excited. Ryan, we've got that to look forward to. We've got a really hot team that we could talk about. Where would you like to start?
Yeah, before we start talking about baseball on the moon, I'd like to talk about just the Padres in general. They were at sea level or something close to it last weekend. Took another series from the Angels. Did not do it by out-homering everybody. Did not do it by smashing the ball. But they continue to find ways to win. Kevin, why? Explain to me how this team is so hot.
You know what? They're doing a lot of things right, like playing defense. Their bullpen has, since the first, say, week of the season, become what you thought it would be. They are getting timely hits, even though, like, you go a lot of nights where, oh, they didn't really do anything with runners in scoring position, but they're timely hits. And I would include in that, you know, the three guys who are struggling, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Jackson Merrill. They have had, for such an early part of the season, their share of big hits. And that's really, like, yes, those guys have to do better. We can talk about that if you want. I mean, that's like, duh. But like, big money guys are paid big money for big moments. And it's not to like hit 300, though that's great if you do that. It's not to hit 50 home runs. That's great if you do that. It's to, when you come up in the big moments, to deliver, I would say, as often as not, which is pretty good in baseball, as often as not, you know, that's how they're doing it. Because that's a really, really good question. One of the most stunning things that has happened is that they have had 12 quality starts thrown against them. They faced a bunch of good pitchers. They faced a young guy the other day who sure looks like he's going to be a good pitcher, Walbert Urania. They faced the guy who's been the best pitcher in the major leagues, Jose Soriano, on Friday in Anaheim. Yet they're finding a way to maybe make sure that guy doesn't go seven innings, right? He only goes six. They're finding a way to score one or two runs off that guy. And then they're attacking bullpens. Now they played two bad bullpens, Rockies and the, who they just played, the Angels, just talked about them. And they, you know, they played some good bullpens though too. So like, they're doing it. Ryan, I don't want to just keep rambling, but I got to say, it's still too early for us to know, is this fluky? I don't think it is, but it's still a valid question, because they do need more contribution from the big four, or I should say three of the big four. Xander Bogaerts, probably the guy who's having the best season so far. And there are questions about the starting rotation still.
Yep. Yep. The Padres are 15-7. They've won 9 out of 10 in 5 consecutive series, which is pretty incredible. Kevin, I think it really helps when you have a closer who's on an almost historic heater here. Let's put into perspective a little bit what Mason Miller's been doing.
You can go with the strikeout rate of 71%, which is unprecedented this early in the season. If you want to then throw in the fact that he has only allowed 2 hits, you say that is unprecedented at any point in a season for a guy over his first 10, whatever it is, 10 or 11 appearances, that's unprecedented, never been done. Is that a small sample size? Sure. But we are talking about a 71% strikeout rate. I think that 3 balls have been put in play at 95 mile an hour exit velocity or higher. Haven't been a whole lot of balls put in play since he struck out 27 of 38 batters faced. It's so good, Ryan, that the other day when he walked a batter and allowed a single, you went, what's wrong? Now, then you laughed at yourself, but because he still, you know, got 2 strikeouts and a scoreless inning. But it's like, that's how good he's been.
Every time he comes in, and I do this, Kevin, because I've been scarred by pitching injuries of Padres past, let's say. Every time he comes in, he throws a fastball, and I go, is his velo down? Is his velo down? And then 2 pitches later, he'll throw it 103 instead of merely 100. And you go like, oh, no, he's fine. To me, and it's,
I hear you,
it bears repeating. What his slider does to professional hitters is something maybe I've never seen before. It's Trevor Hoffman changeup level in terms of how silly it makes really good players.
Yes, the slider, like, yeah, everyone has a second pitch, but to throw 102 frequently and have that good of a slider, and then also be cognizant of mixing in the changeup that is okay. Like, that makes him a pitcher, you know? That, like, he's a pitcher. He could come in probably facing, let's say, the bottom of the order of a lot of teams and get away with 102 and an okay slider. Mm-hmm. His particular repertoire is what makes it where you don't care who he's facing, especially like if he's this hot when, because he's not this good, because no one's this good, okay? But like, go back on this scoreless streak that is one inning from tying Clay Meredith's team record, 33 and two-thirds innings. Go back last year too. And I love that Mason Miller only wants to focus on this year because he's like, it's not like this year started just after last year. They're not a continuous thing. But like, if you go back, he was almost as dominant as he is now. Fewer strikeouts, a few more hits, but really not a lot more hard hit or, you know, anything. You can't be this good. But if he's this hot when he faces the Dodgers, you don't care if who's up in the ninth inning. But Mason Miller's probably going to get him out.
Right. And I think it's worth it because we're talking about the bullpen here. Great step for me. Second on the team in appearances are Bradley Rodriguez and Wandy Peralta, right? Bradley, who I'm going to stop calling Bradley. This is my promise to myself. Bradley Rodriguez has a 0.73 ERA. Wandy Peralta has an ERA of under 2, 1.80. And these are guys who my guess would be at the beginning of the season, you would not think would be having the success that they're having. They've really stepped in, right? With Jeremiah Estrada out, with Jason Adam on the IL to start the season, with Adrian Morahone struggling a little bit to start the season. These other bullpen guys are really stepping up and pitching well too.
This is one of those where, like, you know, Craig Stammen in particular, Mike Schilt was over the top on it. So positive about everything. We've got 47 hitters that could help us. Our bullpen is so deep. And it's like everything is positive, right? Germán Márquez, we think he's going to throw a complete game tonight. This is one of those when you talk about, oh, we've got a really, really deep bullpen. We believe in all our guys. It's true. No one's saying Wandy Peralta's Mason Miller or even Jason Adam. But Wandy Peralta had to step into the role of Jason Adam to some extent because Adrian Morahone can't pitch every night, right? Mm-hmm. And did he give up some runs? He did. But, like, this is an underrated dude to have in your bullpen. And if he's allowed to settle in this role in particular where, you know, it's medium, low leverage, and he is filling innings for you, I mean, hugely valuable. And Bradley still has a penchant because he's 22 years old to, I'm assuming that's why, to be a little, lose his command for times. I don't want to get too carried away, but this guy has the potential to be another back end guy for them fairly soon. And you're like, wow, how are they doing this?
Yeah. If they didn't have the best closer in baseball, I'd say, man, that guy looks like a future Padres closer, you know?
Yeah.
It's great. And real quick, because we're talking about Wandy Peralta, I would be remiss if I did not bring up Annie Heilbrun's wonderful story about him that ran in today's UT. It's been on our website since yesterday. If you have not read it, please go read it. This is a guy who has been a big part of their bullpen, but the story, and I'm going to spoil it a little bit, is he is one of those glue guys who I think makes all of his teammates comfortable, puts them at ease. It seems like just kind of a funny dude, which, you know what, the world could use more personality guys, I think, especially in sports.
Yeah, it was a really good story. His quotes, he quotes people about him. And it's like not this funny, like where people can recount funny things he does a lot or tell, you know, say the jokes he says or whatever. But you really do get the gist of who this guy is. I was watching him in the clubhouse the other day. I only understand every four words. Most guys that are speaking Spanish, I can understand every two words. But the Dominican, sometimes the guys go really fast. But I can only understand every four words. And I can still tell. By the look on his face and the way his teammates are reacting, I can still tell it's hilarious. Like I'm there laughing and I'm not entirely sure I'm getting the gist of what he's saying, but I'm laughing because that's how funny Wandy Peralta is.
Right. That's what Ben Fritz said in this story too. He goes, you know what? he'll say something and Ben Fritz goes, I don't understand a word of it, but it's funny, right? You laugh anyway, because everybody's laughing. I thought that was really good. Anyway, let's get down to the pitching here. Padres Rockies 3-game series at Coors Field. Tonight, Randy Vasquez goes up against an opener. And it looks as if it's going to be an opener for bulk guy Chase Dolander, who's been really good. Not as good as Randy Vasquez. 2.49 ERA, just a 1-0 record, but has been pretty good. His command left him a little bit in his last start, but seems to be settling down. Now, Coors Field can screw with you. Not sure he's going to go seven scoreless tonight. Randy Vasquez has really settled in as a nice piece in this rotation.
Yeah, if Randy's, look, the Coors can mess with the sinker. Coors can mess with the breaking pitches. You got to finish your pitches. You got to, but I've seen Randy pitch really well here. I think it's going to be Hurgit tonight, the opener, who did open against them on Thursday,
the Sunday game.
The Sunday game, he filled in for Freeland, right? Yeah. So I think they saw him like three times last weekend or last week when they swept him. The Coors Field, man, and then Mexico City. I mean, whoa, what a task for the Padres pitchers. They've got to be almost as unexcited as the Padres hitters are excited. And I say almost because, look, you got to go out there and you got to pitch. And it is possible to pitch at these places. Yeah, you got to keep your pitches down. You got to maybe alter your mix. And you got to focus on finishing and really have conviction in your pitches. So that's what they got to do. And then, you know what you do at Coors Field and you do at Mexico City? You throw stats out the window and you say, if you allowed 5 runs in 5 innings, but you left with your team ahead, you had a good game at Coors Field.
Right. You know who I feel really bad for this week, Kevin? It's Walker Buehler. He's coming off his first quality start of the year, is evolving into a pitcher who throws more and more stuff with movement. And now he gets to go someplace where the ball doesn't move. He's 1-1 with a 4.58 ERA. He will pitch Wednesday against Tomoyuki Sugano, who started strong and then struggled. Is a 5.4 ERA at Coors Field this year. Gave up 2 runs in 6 innings at Petco in a no decision last month. So a couple of righties going at it on Wednesday. And then Thursday, and this is what I want to talk to you about a little bit here, Kevin. Matt Waldron will make his second start with the Padres as an injury replacement for Nick Pivetta. He's going to go up against Ryan Feltner. I don't really know who Ryan Feltner is. I want to talk about Matt Waldron. Like, this is a guy, Kevin, when I read his quotes and when I watch him interviewed, I feel so bad for him. I mean, it seems as if he feels the ups and the downs really deeply. Am I overestimating that?
You are not, and I just want to check this out because I wish I could remember. The Padres scored 6 runs in 4 innings off Feltner last week. Yes, you are. Matt Waldron feels it, right? He wears it too. He wants to be so good. I don't like to ascribe too much to that. Unless you really do get a sense from the people you talk to and just, having been around the game a bit, that it does matter. And I wish Matt would just, believe he was good and have the conviction that he needs to be able to throw the pitches he does, because he might be throwing his fastball harder, but it ain't too fast, got to hit his spots, got to believe in it. The knuckleball, got to believe in it. So, yeah, Matt Waldron clearly can be good. It is rare. It's why whenever I see something, I go, well, I haven't been around forever. Let me put this in historical context. So one time I looked up that stretch of 16 starts that Matt Waldron had in 2024, where he had a 2.75 ERA. And yeah, that's been done a lot by a lot of different pitchers over, say, whatever it was that I looked up, the last 10 years or whatever. But generally, the names on the list of guys that have done it are really good pitchers, generally. And so what I'm saying is, like, for the most part, it takes a good pitcher to be able to put together a stretch like he did in 2024. Matt, you're a good pitcher. Like, you can be effective in this league. Go out and do it. He's in a bad way right now. Ever since that stretch ended, it's like a 10-5 ERA and seven starts or whatever it is. Right. And that goes to the last part of 2024. And then he got sent down last year, most of the year in the minors. One start wasn't good. And then this start was not good. So, yeah. And now, talk about feeling bad for a guy. Second start at a mile high.
Yep. See you at Coors Field. He keeps saying things like fastball command is my biggest strength, which is funny because if I threw a knuckleball, that's all I'd ever throw. Right. Because it's such a different look. But it's clear that he considers himself a pitcher with a knuckleball and not a knuckleball pitcher. Sort of going back and forth here the last couple of years. Right.
Right. That's right. Like when people write he's a knuckleballer, I go, no, he's not, because he doesn't consider himself one. Right. And truth is, like, even the other day, I think it was like 38% or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's not a knuckleballer. That's a guy with a knuckleball. Mm-hmm. Now, the Padres would like him to be a knuckleballer, but the Padres also said here, and you know, we know the situation with Matt Waldron. He's out of options. He doesn't stick with the Padres. He's got to go through waivers. I'd say, gosh, there's a decent chance somebody that needs pitching will pick him up and see what they can do with it. So it was like, knowing that going into this year, knowing what Matt wanted to do, be a pitcher, the Padres said, do you. So now Matt Waldron's doing him. And you know, he's not fighting it, but he once again said to me on Friday night, you know, yeah, I got to know my strengths. Matt, I mean, it's been long enough, bro. Got to know your strengths. And I say that with exasperation, with all due respect to how difficult it is to pitch in this league, how difficult it is to go out there and get rocked, get knocked around and kind of evaluate yourself. But all this to say that your premise to start out does... I think it has merit that Matt overthinks this.
Yes, he wants to be good so bad, Kevin. He really does. And it's hard to watch. I mean, it's hard to watch because you know that it matters so much to him. It matters to everybody. He right. just wears it on yeah. his sleeve a lot more than the others do. You know, it's crazy. Colorado Rockies, this is a team that I didn't think very highly of, I guess, when they were at Petco Park a little bit more than a week ago, but they have since taken 3 of 4 from the Los Angeles Dodgers. What do we make of that?
Yeah, there's some fun moments there too. The Dodgers yeah. think they're picking up stuff, the pitches, and it got kind of some back and forth, and good for the Rockies for kind of, you know, being smug about it. They're not very good, but they do. And I think I said this after they played, like, they're still the Rockies. They make mistakes. They're not very good. Their bullpen is bad. But they got a different vibe about them. They have better players. It's a team. And here's the thing. NL West teams, Dodgers, Padres, whoever's good, right? Like, they don't get that weakling, like the true weakling in their division. Because as bad as the Rockies have been, when you go play them now just 6 or 7 times a year versus the 12 or 13 it used to be, or no, wait, the 10 or 11 it used to be, whatever, you've got to go to Coors Field. And it's a freak show. You don't know what's going to happen. Yes, you should beat them. Don't make excuses. You should take 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 or whatever. But look at how often the Dodgers have gone to Coors Field and stunk. And definitely look at how often the Padres have gone to Coors Field. Good Padres teams and come away lucky to have a split or swept. It's a tough place where anything can happen, and your players are adapting to it. Their players have to constantly adapt to it, adapt, you know, as they're going sea level mountains. But it's totally, the visitor comes in there at a disadvantage. And, you know, again, no excuses. The Padres got to take 2 or 3 here, but like, it's a freak show.
Absolutely. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode, and today is no different. Simple projection/prediction time. When we talk a week from today, how many home runs will Fernando Tatis have?
12. let's say 4. That's 4 in 5 games. And I say that because of, and Tom Krasovic wrote a nice column, and I wrote on Tatis a couple times this, because Tatis is super important, and it's super, super fascinating that Tatis has not devolved into pouty Tatis, and he has not chased. He's not trying to pull the ball. Like, it's really interesting. And he's hitting the heck out of the ball. I don't know that Coors Field plays to his strengths. It's huge, and he's not pulling the ball. And it's hard to get that ball out, right-handed hitter, to right center or to right field. But Tatis can run into a couple of Coors, and you could run into a couple in Mexico City. Like, if I was pitching, not even major leaguer, but if I was pitching, you could hit the ball out in at Mexico City. So I'm going to go with four.
Four. Fantastic. All right. Padres-Rockies three-game series starts tonight, 5:40 San Diego time tonight and tomorrow, and then an afternoon game on Thursday. And then it's wheels up to Mexico City, where, Kevin, I will see you.
I'm very excited to
see you in your element during the season and to go explore a Padres series in Mexico City. Should be fun.
Yeah, I'm a joy. I'm a joy during the season. So, yes, delightful for you.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.